Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, June 8th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
And here are our top stories this evening.
Some ZANU-PF youth say President Mugabe should rule until he dies in office.
Zimbabwean students in Algeria say they are struggling to make ends meet as government is failing to pay agreed allowances.
Some girls now are engaging in prostitution. We are suffering. We are borrowing from other foreigners, but we end up losing our gadgets, our phones, our laptops.
Villagers engaged in food for work projects claim that they are being denied food after performing required state duties.
It is not fair that after having worked, people fail to get maize after they work. The social welfare officers always say the food they have is not enough for everyone.
And Zimbabweans living in America have joined the chorus in praising Democratic Party presumptive nominee Hillary Clinton for almost stealing the Democratic presidential ticket.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Some ZANU-PF youths in Zimbabwe's Manicaland province say they want President Robert Mugabe to rule until he dies. Their remarks are coming at a time when some war veterans recently endorsed Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa as President Mugabe's heir apparent, saying he is the most senior person in the party to take over from the 92-year-old Zimbabwean leader who has been in power for 36 years. Our correspondent Lloyd Hamoyo reports.
Mobuso Chinguno, chairperson of the ruling party's Provincial Youth League, described the war veterans' move as treasonous, stressing that no one should be declared President Mugabe's successor until he dies. Chinguno attacked the war veterans said to be aligned to the Mnangagwa faction for going around Zimbabwe announcing the endorsement of the vice president as Mr. Mugabe's successor. He said there is currently no vacancy in the presidium, adding that they expect the president to die in office like his late deputies Joshua Nkomo, Simon Mzenda, Joseph Msika, and John Nkomo.
First and foremost, Msangano ZANU-PF takawirirana isusu kuti vamugabe ndo president ndo first secretary we ZANU-PF.
We in the ZANU-PF party agreed from the onset that Comrade Mugabe is our first secretary, president, and also our candidate come 2018 elections. So the talk of endorsing people that is happening is being rebellious. It's the same as organizing a coup. It's equally treasonous.
But ex-combatant Ivan Mbengo and a member of the Manicaland Provincial Executive of the former Freedom Fighters said the decision to have Mr. Mugabe rule to his grave cannot be made by a small group of ZANU-PF youth. Mbengo said such a decision should be broad-based and can be reached through a national referendum. He added that Zimbabwe, being a parliamentary democracy, has to subscribe to tenets of modern democracy with the people making their own leadership choices.
The best way always is to go through a democratic election within the party and within the country. So in this case, there's need for a referendum. Just like the controversial bond notes, people having the experience of what happened 2007-2008 era. The only way when you want to introduce such economic measures that have a bearing on the lives of the majority, you have to go through a referendum.
Lloyd Munguma, a political activist based in Manicaland province, described as misguided the ZANU-PF youth's suggestions that Mr. Mugabe should rule until he dies.
I think that is unacceptable and that is totally nonsensical, because first, as youth, we are fighting for democracy in Zimbabwe, where we are saying as youth we are the future leaders of this country. So I find it really absurd for one to claim that Comrade Robert Mugabe must die in office.
MDCT Manicaland Provincial Spokesperson and Mtasa Central member of the National Assembly, Trevor Sarwaka, said such a call from the ruling party youth is regrettable.
I think that's a shame for the young generation to make such a statement. Because as far as we are aware, President Mugabe has run his race and he is far past beyond his best by date. is now a liability to this country. Zimbabwe cannot live in the past. We have to move forward. So those youth are misdirected. What we expect from a knowledgeable group of youth is to demand that he resigns forthwith so that other able-bodied Zimbabweans can take over.
Last month, the ZANU-PF youth organized what they called a 1 million men march to show their allegiance to the aging leader and ask the President Mugabe to ensure that they get a residential stance and land for agricultural purposes, among several other issues. Two ruling party factions, one allegedly led by Mnangagwa and another by First Lady Grace Mugabe, are said to be fighting over the succession of Mr. Mugabe. The two have dismissed suggestions that they harbor presidential ambitions. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Damoyo.
Over 300 Zimbabwean college and university students in Algeria under the Zimbabwe-Algeria Bilateral Scholarship Program claim that some of them have now turned to prostitution and drug dealing in order to survive, as the government of Zimbabwe has failed to pay the agreed $3,000 allowance per student a year. The students, who declined to be named in fear of being victimized, claim that they last received their allowance about 16 months ago. They say they now have resorted to borrowing money from other nationals, who end up confiscating their laptops or mobile phones for failing to pay back the money. Here is what one of the students told Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
It's been long without receiving the money, and here we are starving. We don't have anything to eat. Right now, during the month of Ramadan, they don't cook. They don't open restaurants or dining rooms. So we have to cook for ourselves for 3 months. We have nothing to eat. We last received our money last year. We need money for health, for transport, for educational researches, for clothing, for food, medication. But we are starving. We don't have anything. All the universities in Algeria closed, and they are going to open mid-September. So these 3 months, we have nothing to eat. We don't have money for transport, for communication, for everything. We are starving. Some girls now are engaging in prostitution. Boys are engaging in drug dealing, and we are suffering.
Who is actually supposed to sponsor you? Are you under the presidential scholarship program?
No, the scholarship is called the Zimbabwe-Algeria Bilateral Scholarship. It is the government of Zimbabwe, not the presidential. It is Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education.
Where are you getting the money now?
We are borrowing from other foreigners, but we end up losing our gadgets, our phones, our laptops if we fail to pay back. But the situation is tough. We don't have anything to do. And most of us, we are orphans.
That was one of the Zimbabwean students studying in Algeria who declined to be named in fear of being victimized. Speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube, senior officials at the Zimbabwe embassy in Algiers promised to comment but had not done so at the time of going to press.
Higher Education Minister Professor Jonathan Moyo was also not available for comment. But a member of the Student Representative Council in Algeria dismissed some of the allegations, though he could neither confirm nor deny that students have not been paid stipends for more than a year. Other students in Egypt and South Africa say they are facing the same problem.
Villagers of Dombwe, Zimba communal lands in Mashonaland West Province, who are engaged in food for work programs, are complaining that they are being denied food aid after working in state projects like upgrading local roads. Our reporter Arthur Chigoriwa has more details from the provincial capital.
The villagers, who normally work for 15 days a month in public programs run by the Minister of Social Welfare, said the state officials claim that in most cases there are more people than the intended beneficiaries that receive 50 kilogram bags of mealie meal. Was a villager, Gertrude Kagweda, said though food for work program are good in ensuring that some local people get food aid, the Minister of Social Welfare is letting them down.
It is not fair that after having worked People fail to get maize after they work. The social welfare officers always say the food they have is not enough for everyone, but they will have taken our names before we start working.
Another villager, Emily Zigauke, added that it is unfair for people to work for the state without getting any benefits.
We suspect that welfare people are corrupt. How can the names of people who work for the whole month fail to appear on the list?
A mother of four, Janet McCandisco of Mkwasha Village, said she failed to get a bag of maize recently after working for 15 days. Zigauke said the food distribution per household is not adequate due to the fact that many families have more than four children.
One bag of maize is not enough for a family of four like mine. There's need to allow people to work for more than one bag of maize per month.
The villagers also claimed that the food is usually distributed at night by some officials of the Ministry of Social Welfare who declined to comment. But another Chirau villager, Petronella Munala, said despite some of these problems, the government is doing all it can to help those in need of food aid in this drought-ravaged region. Munawa said villagers should appreciate what the government is doing under very difficult economic times.
The government is doing such a good thing to us. Because this year we didn't harvest like normal years. So they are giving us food. We can survive. We didn't have anything to eat or to feed our kids.
According to the Mashonaland and West resident minister, Faba Shidarikile, more than 94,000 people in the region are in need of food aid. He said no one would die of hunger if they have received enough food for the needy in the province. Shidarikile said initially there were some logistical problems which were resolved when army trucks were deployed to help distribute maize in the remote parts of the region. Reporting for Studio 7 in Shinoi, this is Ata Chigoriwa.
Living with HIV is difficult, but being born HIV positive is a lot harder. That from public health advocate Maximina Jokonya, who was herself born HIV positive. She was also one of the nearly 60 Mandela Washington Fellows from Zimbabwe who are due in the United States for the fellowship next week. Jokonya says the stigma against HIV positive people remains a major challenge in Zimbabwe. She tells reporter Ntungameli Nkomo she's all set for the 6-week scholarship.
This is a blessing coming from God. I am so excited, and I just want to thank the people, especially President Obama, for putting this initiative for us as young people to be, you know, educated, to be eye-open, so that we, the ideas that we have or the lying ideas that are within us to be exposed so that we'll be great young leaders. So for me, it's such a great honor. I'm so excited all the way.
You were born HIV positive. What would you say some of the major challenges that you and people like yourself are facing?
Being born with HIV on itself is quite a challenge. You are a young person, you are a woman. So sometimes it's quite difficult, especially when your parents passed away and you are an orphan, whereby you are looking for support to be able to actually go to school. So these are some of the challenges that we face, so that we have dreams, we have something that we want to achieve in life, but the resources now for us to be able to pursue our dreams, they are not quite there as well. And also the issue of, you can say, relationships. When someone who is HIV positive wants to get into a relationship, she or he will face a difficulty, particularly me. I know I faced some, whereby getting into a relationship, sometimes I get rejected, sometimes I get accepted. So these are some of the issues that we are also facing as well when we are born with HIV as well. And also the issue of access to medication as well. We are talking about people who are in rural areas. Sometimes there's also the issue of long distances to walk to access this medication. It's quite a challenge to them as well.
And how do you hope to benefit from this fellowship?
What I really want to learn from this fellowship is innovative ideas, to come up with ideas that can help my communities for the better as well. I want to find innovative ideas that can actually end AIDS.
That was Mandela Washington fellow and public health advocate Maximina Jokonya on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
a Zimbabwean carves a niche for herself in dressmaking in the United Kingdom.
And Zimbabweans attend a high-level United Nations meeting in New York.
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Hillary Clinton claimed the Democratic presidential nomination yesterday, which would make her the first woman to represent a major party in the race for the White House. Her Democratic rival, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, won North Dakota and Montana Tuesday, but Clinton won South Dakota, New Mexico, and New Jersey. President Obama called both candidates yesterday, congratulating Secretary Clinton on winning the necessary delegates to secure the nomination. He also thanked Senator Sanders for mobilizing millions of Americans and bringing attention to issues such as fighting economic inequality. Clinton addressed a crowd of screaming fans waving American flags in Brooklyn yesterday evening.
We've reached a milestone. The first time in our nation's history that a woman will be a major party's nominee.
Zimbabweans living in the USA, including Talenta Ngube, who lives in Texas, says Clinton has set a good example for all women in the world.
I think Hillary Clinton is a phenomenal woman. The Democrats are sitting good in history. We just had a first black president, Barack Obama, who's done very well. And right now, I think Hillary Clinton is set to continue on the positive trajectory the Democratic Party is. I actually like Bill Clinton more than Hillary Clinton herself. And then I have to ask myself, what are her qualities that make her deserve my vote? So I went and schooled myself on the life of Hillary Clinton. Both of them and Bill have been for minorities. But Hillary's family was actually Republican. So for her to be a Democrat was something that she did for herself.
Now, as a Zimbabwean woman, how do you feel, really, to actually see another woman in that kind of position?
Oh, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. There's no one who can claim to have worked for women as she does. I mean, when you hear the Trump on the other hand claim that for everything that he says, he has to say, oh, the Trump organization, we have women at the top, whatever, we have women at the top. For Hillary, it's not claims that she makes. It's women, they know that she has always represented women's rights. Zimbabwean women, we are very capable here in America and trying to influence the politics back home. It can be done. It's never easy. And Hillary doesn't deserve our vote simply because she's a woman. So it's up to every single one of us to make sure that when we cast a vote, we cast a responsible vote.
That was Talenta Ngube, a Zimbabwean living in the U.S., speaking with the Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Texas.
A Zimbabwean, Afina Madosi Folder, based in the United Kingdom, is carving a niche for herself in dressmaking. After moving to England in 2001, Madosi Folder found herself being relegated to a stay-at-home mom, taking care of children while her husband was the sole breadwinner. The former Tel 1 technician found herself with ample time to resuscitate her love for sewing her own clothes, something she acquired during her school days. and today she's a proud owner of Mavu Clothing, a brand name she chose in remembrance of her late mother. The Nottingham-based dressmaker, who's getting orders from all over Britain and as far as Zimbabwe, speaks with reporter Jonga Kandemiri about her venture.
I started dressmaking about 2 years ago. I liked the page on Facebook. I was looking for tailor to make these clothes for me, and I couldn't find a tailor. That's when I thought, oh, but I did fashion and fabrics in school, and I used to sew some of my things when I was younger. So I started sewing again about 2 years ago. That's how I started my business. It's called Mavu. That's what it is called.
Mavu means sand or soil. May you explain how you ended up having such a line of clothing?
The name Mavu, the brand Mavu. Mavu comes from my mom's name. My mom's name, you know, at school in Zimbabwe, even when we are growing up, most people have two names, a Shona name and an English name. My mom's English name was Rosemary. And the Shona name, in her family, she just used to be called Mavu Mavu. My mom passed away 20 years ago. And when I was looking for a name to start my business, my brand name, Mavu kept coming in my head. That's why I ended up using Mavu.
The Athena I knew from our days at PTC was someone who was not into dressmaking. How did you end up doing this?
I was, just that people didn't know. My friend Lorraine introduced me to a tailor who ended up sewing for me, but I did most of my things at home, like the curtains. I used to sew curtains, cushions, duvet covers for myself. My four-bedroom house was all filled with all these things I used to sew after work, working from PTC during the day and in the evening and weekends. That was sort of like my hobby. And when I came here to England in 2001, I bought a machine, but I didn't use it because I could find clothes everywhere. I could find anything I wanted until about 2 years ago when I found this page on Facebook and I liked everything I saw. Then I started making clothes.
Do you have another job?
No, I don't have another job. Before I started all of this, I was a stay-at-home mom. My husband is the one who goes to work, and I was a stay-at-home mom. Now, this is what I do. I like making clothes. I like designing clothes. It started as a hobby, but now it's a business, and the business is growing.
Are you supplying any shops?
Not at the moment. I'm not supplying shops at the moment, but in future, yes, I will be.
So how are you selling your wares?
I advertise on Instagram, and my Instagram name is Mavu Mavu. And I also advertise. I have a page on Facebook, and my Facebook page is Mavu, M-A-V-H-U. People can order from there. They can write to me and order whatever they want. If they have their own styles they want, I can make these styles for them as well. Some people will bring something thinking that it's easy to do, but it's not easy. Because one, you've got to design the pattern first before you cut the fabric. And once you cut the fabric and if it's too small, you can't go back. If you cut it bigger, then probably it's fine. But if you cut a pattern very small, the person won't fit and the fabric is gone. It's unusable unless you change it to use it for something else. It's not easy. Yes, it is exciting doing this.
How is life in the diaspora?
People say life is what you make it. So I would like to say, if you just sit around and not do anything about your life, then yes, things will be difficult. But if you do something with your life, something better to progress in life, then life will be good for you.
Are you working with other people or any Zimbabweans?
No, I'm not working with anybody. At the moment, it's just a sole business. It's just me doing this. And at home, no, not at the moment. I don't have any businesses at home.
That was Zimbabwean Afina Madosi Falder on the phone from Nottingham with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. And now we hand you over to Chioniso Jani for the Youth Show, Time to Engage.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chioniso Jani, your host for Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today we have Andile Mpofu. She is the Miss USA Zim. Did I get it right, Andile?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You did. Thank you for having me.
Can you give us a background of how you got into modeling?
It started when I think I was like 5 years. And my mom is actually the one who started teaching me. She used to teach us every day after breakfast with my sister and I. And I remember times when I was loud, she would remind us, hey, chest up. Every time, that is something that, you know, I grew up with. My mom would always reinforce it into us all the time.
Give us your experience from the time you won.
Okay, so this one was actually a stereo one because I hadn't done modeling in the longest time. It was really relaxed, pretty much because I had people that were supporting me. I have my aunt and my uncle here in Washington State. It seemed as if my aunt was the one who was going to compete because she seemed to be in front of when I was getting overwhelmed. It was an overwhelming experience at times, you know, just trying to make sure that you have the right coordination between your jewelry and then your shoes and everything.
What questions do they ask?
I were to change anything about Zimbabwe, what would it be? That was the question. I would be starting with the way that the Zimbabwean people think. I do know that Zimbabwe is in a very difficult economic situation, that, you know, there are people that are going to bed without anything to eat. You know, Zimbabwe is really struggling as a country, but we are more than our struggles. Once we get to a point where we think what beats the economic situation of Zimbabwe right now, or what would help us get out of where we are, is for us to first think that we can. As long as we think that somebody else will, we are never going to be better. We are always going to be where we are and even go somewhere even worse. But it's just the mind getting to a place where it realizes that we are more than where we are and we can be better than where we are. And, you know, to get the mind to be creative, it has to know that it can be creative. You know, what I would want to tell the Zimbabwean youth or any other youth is you're beautiful, you are gorgeous. Stop listening to people telling you what beauty is. Beauty is what you have from within. Beauty is not makeup. Beauty is not the weave that you have on your head. It's not even the natural hair that you have on your head.
Thank you for being with us, Andile.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
And that was Andile Mpofu, Miss USA Zim, and I am Chiona Sojani, your host for Time to Engage.
A high-level delegation led by Health Minister David Paririnyatwa is in New York for the 2016 United Nations General Assembly meeting on ending HIV/AIDS, which started today and ends Friday. SAFAIDS Director Lois Chingandu tells us that she is happy with the commitment shown by the Zimbabwean government in fighting HIV/AIDS, despite the challenging economic situation in the country.
We are here attending a three-day meeting. It's called a high-level meeting for the signing of a political declaration on HIV.
What are you hoping to come out of this meeting?
Our biggest hope is that obviously we would like to see a continued high-level commitment to fighting HIV, particularly by the governments of our countries as well as governments of the region, because they all sign it, a global document into which all governments of the world sign to commit to continue fighting HIV. But inside that document, they have to articulate, for example, what strategies are going to be a priority, where is the funding going to come from, what are the targets for the number of people that should be reached by treatment. So we are looking at this document very carefully to make sure that the things that they are signing on are the things that we as civil society are committed to and would like to see.
Are there any members of government that are being represented at this meeting?
Yes. We have heading our delegation is our Honorable Health Minister, Dr. David Paririnyatwa, who is representing the president of our country. And then we see him on that team. We also have two members of parliament, and we have a senior doctor from the ministry, as well as the head of NAC and the chairman of NAC.
Looking at Zimbabwe's state of the economy, do you think some of the recommendations that will come out of this meeting will be able to be implemented in the country at this time when things are not really going well economically?
Yes, we have no doubt about that, because if we look historically, even when Zimbabwe was at its lowest in the past 5 years, the government has never gone back on its commitment on the National AIDS Fund. We anticipate and we have been assured that that commitment is going to continue irrespective of what is going on in the country.
That was SAFAID's director, Lois Chingandu, speaking with us from New York here in the United States.
Well, that's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, saying good night.